providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are wrapping up the show with more of a focus on the energy sector. We are chatting right now with Joseph Schachter. He is the founder of the Schachter Energy Report, also writes the Eye on Energy newsletter. So those are two different newsletters. The Schachter Energy Report, more focused for the investor in terms of individual companies, and the Eye on Energy, that's actually a free newsletter that Joseph sends out focused on the macro picture, breaking down the data in the energy sector. Now, Joseph, I wanted to feature you on this weekend show because I want to talk about your conference that's coming up October 22nd in Calgary. Conference is called Catch the Energy Conference. This is a chance to meet with a lot of Canada's energy leaders in terms of management. You have a wide range of companies attending. I attended the show back when it was last running, pre-COVID. I found it very valuable to get in front of companies that, in all fairness, go through a bit of a selection process to attend the conference. You spend time throughout the conference with actually chatting to management, and some of the presentations, they're longer format with a moderator, so you do get to ask some questions. I do also need to outline that Joseph is offering all of you, our listeners, a free 2 tickets through a draw. You need to email info@schachterenergyreport.com. I'll post all this info in the posting on our website and use the subject line KE Report Draw. Include your first and last name, and then you're entered into a free draw for a couple tickets. Again, all that information will be on our website. Joseph, please give us an update on your conference. What should people be expecting when they do attend?
Okay. What we do is that, you know, I've been on the buy side and the sell side for most of my career in market strategy at Richardson. And companies don't really focus on the individual investor. They do a lot of institutional, you know, conferences by the banks or the oil-financed, investment bankers. And my thought when I created the Schachter Energy Report in 2017, that we need the conference where companies came out and met with individual investors. And so in 18 and 19, we had about 22 companies and about 400 attendees. This year, we're bringing it up because it's been gone for 2 years because of the pandemic. We're going to have 35 companies based on Canadian domestic oil companies, Canadian domestic natural gas companies, Canadian or international, Canadian companies that are based here that are dealing in the international area. We are going to have Canadian or energy service companies that work in Canada, U.S., Australia. So we have a big difference, a big swing of companies. And we also are going to have the TMX is going to run an innovation and technology room, which is going to go into the, you know, things like the carbon capture, helium, all of the renewable issues. So people who are interested in the next phase of technology and energy can come. We have some very big companies like Birchcliff in the natural gas sector and Vermilion in the oil sector, and big companies like Surge in the, you know, or in the oil side. On the international side, we have, you know, natural gas companies like Alpetro and Canacol coming. And we have in the service sector things like Total Energy and Step Energy coming. So there's a big group of companies. People can go to our website and see it. And the special offer that we're providing, which is that if, you know, instead of paying $249 for the subscription, we're including two complimentary tickets to the conference in the package, which you'll have available to your network. And it will include two tickets that are worth $238, so $249. And then you have a quarter to look at the product. And if you like it, you stay. If not, you can you cancel beforehand. But we're looking at 600 attendees. There'll be company booths there presenting the companies. So not only you'll have a 45-minute session, so 30 minutes the companies will tell you who they are, what they're doing, where they're going, and what their growth is. And there'll be moderators in the room to start the Q&A. And then there'll be three major times during the day that you can go to the booths and spend time with them. So if you own the company and really want to ask them questions that have been bugging you or that's been on your mind, or you're looking at new companies and you want to get to know them better and look them, the CEOs and the senior management in the eye, ask them questions of how much do you own? Are you insiders, you know, significant investors? Those kinds of questions. We're also going to be putting in the package USB keys for all the presentations, because we're going to be running a number of rooms at the same time, but they'll have, you'll have access to them. And then, of course, all meals, breakfast, lunch, and snacks are included. And then I'll be doing my opening overview presentation to start the conference off. So it's a full day Saturday, October 22nd at Mount Royal University. You can go and look at our website for all of the information on it. And there's a lot of advertising going on by our sponsors, which are TMX, Dentons, GLJ, MNP, Iridium, and others, plus the Calgary Petroleum Club signed on as a joint marketing sponsor this week. So we're getting very, very significant support to make this conference the best yet.
Well, Joseph, it sounds like a great way to not only go to the event with the two tickets, but also to try out the Schachter Energy Report for a quarter, and like you say, get a sense of the kind of materials you cover. So if people are interested in this conference, and maybe they're on the fence with it right now, Joseph, maybe they're not sure if they want to come, you know, what would you say the advantage of going to a conference like this is over investors being able to do their own due diligence on a computer? You mentioned looking people in the eye and asking them tough questions, but what other benefits would you say people get by going to a conference like this?
Well, being in person, they're not, you know, you really get to size the management up. You know, a presentation and numbers on a balance sheet are good. But even Warren Buffett wants to meet his managements and find out who they are and what their focus is and ask questions. Where do you want to take the company 5 years from now? Where do you want to take the company 10 years from now? Ask questions about, you know, the issues of LNG takeaway or First Nations issues and ask them from their perspective what's going on. So you can't really do that sitting at your computer. You need to do that in person. You know, the reason we're doing this special offer of the two free tickets is they're also transferable. So if you want to bring a friend, if you want to bring, if you have relatives who are closer to Calgary or friends who are closer to Calgary, you know, you can buy the subscription, get the two tickets, and effectively, you know, then, you know, give them to people who can use them. But we would really like people to come who want to be involved in the Canadian and the international energy sector where Canadian companies are running them. And remember, Canadian companies going internationally, be it in Egypt, or UK or Netherlands like Vermilion, or going down in Colombia or Brazil, we are taken and accepted a lot better than Americans are. American companies are seen, because of, you know, the politics of the US, there's a kind of love-hate relationship. Canada, you know, what do? Send a Mountie down, you know. So we really don't have that that negative connotation that sometimes the U.S. has. And I think this way people can get to meet some very exciting Canadian companies that are working on the international front in the service sector and also in the domestic oil and gas industry in Canada. So I've always loved going to conferences, when I was on the buy side of the street. And I was also at one point chairman of the Canadian Council of Financial Analysts. And we used to have conferences and have, you know, speakers on specific issues, but also companies on panels. And I always loved it, that personal interaction with the people who matter is something you don't normally get. And we're the only ones in Canada doing an oil and gas conference. There's other ones where they invite a few, you know, energy to a mining deal or a technology deal. But we're the only ones that they're doing only oil one full day.
So, Joseph, for people looking to attend the conference, even myself included, this might be tough to answer because you do have a wide range of companies attending that conference. What are some of the characteristics that we should be looking for? What are some of the questions we should be asking to these different companies that you think can set them apart in what is now a better environment for these companies? What should we be focused on? Give us some examples of questions you would ask.
Well, some of the questions that I ask all the time when I go to see the management is, in some cases, companies are letting production decline because they want to pay down debt, or they're being pressured by Bay Street and Wall Street to increase dividends and NCIBs, normal course issuer bids. My view is companies should be at least keeping their production flat and then using the free funds flow to pay down debt and then pay shareholder returns. But I prefer, and my focus is on companies that are growing production and repairing the balance sheet and doing the, you know, the shareholder returns. So those are all the positives that, I think matter in terms of the E&P companies, be it domestic or international. And on the service sector, you're looking for them to start showing that the utilization on their equipment is going back, is going up, and how far they see that going up, because you have manpower shortages out there, as you know, and getting people to go work in the oil patch out outside of the city, that means you're staying in facilities that they have out by the rigs. And a lot of people don't like to do that, even though the pay is like six-figure pay. So that really, you know, you want to ask those kinds of questions. And then if you're involved in companies that are in areas where there's jurisdictions with First Nations, Northern, Eastern BC, along, you know, the blueberry issue that's there. And then there's companies that are involved in, you know, helping with the LNG, talking to them about how big is that potential and when would that potential kick in. We know there's wood fire, and we've seen the announcements there with Enbridge backing them, taking a 30% interest. That puts that project forward. And then LNG Canada is in the process now of making the decision of going from one train to two train. That's going to have an enormous impact on those companies drilling in Northeast BC and Northwest Alberta, because they're short natural gas. So all of that comes together are things that you want to ask the companies. And of course, I always want to know, how much do insiders own? Do insiders have a multiple of their salaries? Because you want them focused as owners of the business, not as bureaucrats that are being paid high salaries and high bonuses and don't really care where the stock price goes.
That is such a good point, Joseph. We want to see companies management that's aligned with shareholders, not ones that kind of have a free ride in the stock and they're more interested in their salary than in the success of the company. But you brought up an interesting point, one of those questions. I'd love you to maybe just share with our audience what your take is when you vetted these companies, when you're talking to these companies about where they're investing their money. Some are paying down debt. Some are trying to return capital to shareholders through dividends or buying back shares. But very few are really talking about, or at least publicly talking about, growth and about investing it back in the ground, investing it into growing their projects. What's your general sense of the health of the market in that sense? How many companies or what percentage of companies are really investing in growth?
I would say probably only about 20%, but the ones that are doing it, Tourmaline, Whitecap, Pipestone, you know, they're very visible that they have a growth portion of their free funds flow. They're doing, in the case of Tourmaline, dividends and special dividends. In the case of, you know, Pipestone, they're talking about a very big increase in production between now and, you know, in 24, 25. They're going from like 31,000 to 55,000 BOEs a day. Whitecap just bought XTO from Exxon and Imperial Oil, so they're a much bigger player in the Montney and the Duvernay natural gas business. So those companies that are growing are the ones you want, because they'll be able to generate the ability to pay down debt and also you know, have that growth component, which will be which will give those stocks premium cash flow multiples. And we look for those companies to be the superstars going forward. And the key thing is you want to be able to buy them when they're on bargains. And if you remember in June, July, we had a significant correction in the energy sector. Many stocks went down 30% to 40%. I think the next phase of the decline is going to start shortly. I think we're going to break $80 WTI during the month of September, and I believe we'll probably break the price of $70 during the month of October, and that all is related to the recessionary conditions we're seeing. U.S. has two negative quarters. China's got lots of problems. Germany talks about, you know, very severe problems. UK had a 10.1% CPI number come out this week, 17% number for PPI. So the central banks are still going to be very aggressive on raising interest rates to slow economies, and that means unemployment's going to pick up. And I think all of that is going to cool the jets. And if you have very high prices in Europe for oil and natural gas because of Russia cutting back allocations, you know, you look at the price of natural gas in Europe, it's the equivalent of over $200 WTI. So they are now importing oil from Canada, well, from the United States and Canada, because they want they're going to go from burning natural gas for winter heating to burning oil and coal. Nuclear's got problems because the river levels are low, so they can't run those nuclear plants at capacity. So the big problem for Europe is going to be December, January, February, those cold winter months. And if they don't have enough energy supplies, we're going to see a massive pickup on the price, which is why I think the bottom comes when all the negatives of the economic problems come, which is the September, October, November period, and maybe tax loss selling in December. But once we get into Q1 of 23, I think we're going to be looking for a recovery in domestic U.S. and Canadian oil prices and natural gas prices. And then we start the next leg of this energy super cycle, which started in March of 2020. It had a great run. It now needs a cool-off period that is like the pause that refreshes. I think we saw the first down leg, as I mentioned, during June, July. The next down leg will be September, October, and then maybe bounce around into December with tax loss pressure. And then I think we're off to the races again. So what we're trying to do with our conference is get you to see the companies, the ones you want that you own, ones you want to own, get to know them, get to feel comfortable with them, get to have the confidence to say, okay, when the bargains show up, we're ready to buy them, because the window is pretty short, as you remember, of March of 2020. And that's why we put this whole thing together, both the research product as well as the conference, to give people a high confidence level when they make their investments in the energy sector.
So, Joseph, just to be clear on timing then, you're seeing some weakness probably through the rest of this year. But then in terms of next year, we might get another run higher. Do you see the price of crude going back in the first half, let's say, of next year, back up to that 120 level where it peaked in June, or even up to around 130 where it peaked in March of this year?
I'm comfortable with 90 to 100 on a stable basis in Q1. But if there's a problem with Iran where they don't do the nuclear deal and Israel and Iran go at it, or if there's problems, with Ukraine and Russia that get out of hand, and there's disruption of any country in the OPEC membership for whatever reason, then I think you could see those spikes to 120, 130 again. But I believe that in the second half of 23, we're going to be sitting consistently over 100, and in 24, consistently over 120. And in 25, 26, 27, I think we're going to be consistently over $150 a barrel for oil, and above the 147, 148 that we saw in May, June, July of 2008. And that's why I think multiples will go from two or three times cash flow once you see consistent pricing. And that the reason the price is up is because we're spending a lot of money on renewables to develop lithium and copper and nickel. And all of those are going to be done in South America, Africa, Asia. And for those developments to occur, they're going to consume a lot more oil and natural gas for that to happen, which means that even though the OECD countries may lose 2 or 3 million barrels because of the focus on better mileage for vehicles and cutting back usage of CO2 emission commodities, oil and natural gas, more oil, the emerging world that's going to be bringing on those products we need to make that transition to renewables, they will be consuming 7 or 8 million barrels more. So the net effect is we will have demand growth of 4 or 5 million. The industry is not spending enough money to replace declines. There's your bullish story for the next, the 23 to the 25, 26, 27 period.
All right, Joseph, thank you for that update. Thanks for the insights on that conference as well. And again, just to reiterate, you can enter that free draw for 2 free tickets by emailing the Schachter Energy Report. That is info@schachterenergyreport.com. Be sure to put KE Report Draw in the subject line and include your first and last name. All those entries do need to be received by September 9th for those free tickets. But again, I think it's worthwhile just to sign up for Joseph's newsletter and get those 2 free tickets. And then you get to try out his newsletter and service for 1 quarter. And then you can always remain subscribed if you want. Everybody, thank you for tuning in on this weekend show. It was a pleasure putting it together for everybody. And I know we are still in summer. It's a slow trading season. And unfortunately, at the tail end of the week, it seems like everything turned back lower. But hey, we have had an okay bounce here, and now we're just all waiting, unfortunately, for Jackson Hole and the next Fed meeting. as well as some more economic data to be released. As always, you can keep in touch with Shad and I through email. That is flex@kereport.com and shad@kereport.com. We love hearing from each and every one of you. Joseph, thanks again for your time. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. Have a great weekend.